Hey fam, it has been a while, a couple of years probably since I recorded a podcast episode. And you know, you're aware of what's been going on over the past couple of years, right? The world has been turned upside down. But I think it's about time. I think it's about time that I got back into it. And I wanted to start out by talking about a subject that honestly has been something that's helped get me through the last couple of years. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened to all of us in general. And then for a lot of us in our personal lives, we've gone through even more things because life didn't stop just because there was a pandemic. We did have things like stay-at-home orders. We did have things like businesses closing down. We did have things like kids having to be at home for school. All of those things happened, but some of us had other things happen. Deaths in our family, divorces, all sorts of things happened. And it's really difficult to navigate some of those things if you don't have a foundation for sort of keeping yourself grounded. And I think there's been a lot of people out there that have basically developed psychosis through this. And I'm not even exaggerating. I think that there have been some people that have just gone off the deep end with fear and other things. And I'm not going to spend this episode talking about the pandemic. What I want to talk about is something that's a subject near and dear to my heart. And I could go on and on about Christianity and how God helped me get through this time and how my faith in Jesus Christ is my foundation. But there's something else that I want to talk about today that's very helpful because it's more of a philosophy. It's more of a mindset that I find pairs well with my Christian faith, to be quite honest, and that's Stoicism. And I don't necessarily call myself like a Stoic philosopher or anything like that. I don't adhere to Stoicism as well as maybe I would like to, but it's something that interests me and it's something that I find helpful in my life. So I want to talk a little bit about it. So some of the main ideas in Stoicism that are helpful. Let me just talk about the four pillars of courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. And we'll go a little bit deeper into that. And I'm going to recommend some books that I like. So one of the main things that I like about Stoicism, it's about not being controlled by external circumstances, but being in control of your emotions. Some people have the false idea that Stoicism is more about not having emotion. Like when we refer to someone as Stoic, not as a Stoic, but someone, oh, that guy's very Stoic. We usually have a tendency to mean that they don't show any emotion. But what it actually means is that they control their emotion rather than being controlled by their emotions. So Stoics do believe in having emotions. We just don't believe in letting them run rampant without having them under control. So all of the things that I just mentioned, courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom, all sort of have something to do with that idea of being in control of your own emotions and your own attitudes and mindset. And I've done many episodes where I talked about mindset. And this is a big one for me on helping to maintain a proper mindset. It's not about positive thinking. It's not about manifesting. I'm not talking about The Secret or any of those types of things. It's actually very simple. Courage, when it comes down to it, is often just about doing the right thing, even when it's not the popular thing. Courage can mean that you need to stand out as the only person in your company who says, this is wrong, what we're trying to do right now. This is unethical and immoral. Courage can mean protecting your loved ones. What it's not about is self. It's not about protecting your reputation. It's not about maintaining a good face or any of those types of things. Temperance. This is a great one for for the year that we're in right now. Society over the last few decades has really gone off the deep end when it comes to any sort of temperance. And what I mean by that is not necessarily of emotion, but I also do mean that. What I'm talking about is there's no moderation. Everything is just go as deep and as far as you want into anything without any intent to have any moderation. But temperance doesn't mean you just abstain from everything. Temperance means that you're capable of keeping things under control. So if it comes to, let's say, alcohol, for example, doesn't mean you never drink. It just means you know when it's an appropriate time to do so and when it's not an appropriate time to do so. It doesn't mean you never swear. It just means you know when it's inappropriate and you don't do it at those times. When it comes to relationships, temperance can mean the difference between trying to win an argument and holding yourself back so that you can understand what the other person is trying to say rather than just trying to win at all costs. Justice. Again, this pillar is not about self. Justice means the idea of always doing the right thing, the idea of keeping things in balance, of doing things for the greater good. And it all kind of still comes down to not being controlled by your external circumstances. And wisdom. Wisdom kind of ties all these together, because without wisdom and discernment, you're not going to be able to really know the difference between when to do one thing and when to do another. So the wisdom to have temperance, the wisdom to know when to be courageous, the wisdom to know and understand what justice is. And those types of things have helped me get through a difficult time and have helped a lot of people get through difficult times. One of my favorite Stoics is not one of the ancient philosophers of Stoicism, but is James Stockdale, who was a prisoner of war. And we have a terminology now that came from this called the Stockdale paradigm, where he was trying to get the other troops around him to understand that you should never give up hope, but you also shouldn't have false hope. So some of the people who didn't do so well in the prison camps were the people that just kept looking forward to, oh, we'll be out by Christmas. They had too much hope. And some of the people who didn't do well were never getting out of here. And there's a balance in between there. So call it a paradigm, call it a dichotomy if you want, where you fully understand the benefits of having hope and not losing it, but you also understand the dangers of having false hope. And so that's been something that would really benefit a lot of people through this difficult time that we're going through as a country in the United States, but also just as a world. There's not a lot of temperance in politics these days. It's all us versus them. There's not a lot of moderation, when really, if you dig down deep and ask people what they believe politically, most people are pretty moderate. Most people could either lean a little bit right or a little bit left, but are not far right and far left. But what we've got out there now, the talking heads in the media, certain radio show hosts, they would have you believe that anyone who leans right is far right and anyone who leans left is far left. And so it's us versus them. And that's just not the case. And if we step back and we use our wisdom and we think for ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to actually talk to some people that disagree with me on the political spectrum to one degree or another, what we'll often find out when we speak to those people is that they're not as far off as we think they are, and they're not as crazy as we think they are. What we'll often find is that they want the same things as us. They just see a different way of getting there. Now, we could still disagree. That doesn't mean that you have to go, oh, well, I'm wrong and they're right. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that you can understand that you can live together and have different beliefs. You can, dare I say, have friendships and relationships with people that don't see eye to eye with you when it comes to things that are political or even religious. It's just difficult to get people out of the mindset that they're currently in, especially during a time like this COVID pandemic where there's not a lot of sanity left. And I mean that on either side of the political spectrum, but it's not all political either. The idea of not being controlled by your external circumstances, self-sovereignty, would benefit so many people right now during this time if they could just let go for a minute, step back and think, and then let this be a way of life. Courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom as a way of life through this pandemic. If more people were following Stoicism, we wouldn't be where we are right now. And I'm not saying that to like elevate myself up on a pedestal, because I haven't handled it that well either. I'm saying the times that I have done better than others are when I was mindful of the principles of Stoicism and when I was mindful of God's sovereignty and Him being in control of all things, and that my external circumstances are not something I can control. That's the main idea that I boil Stoicism down to. Take action over the things that you can control in your life and let go of trying to have control over the things that you cannot control. We have so much anxiety and so much worry today. And most of the time, it surrounds things that we can't change or we can't control, like how others view us or how others treat us or how others act or how others believe. We can't change those things, but we can change what we do. And I'm again going to blend this into my Christianity, because I believe that one of the greatest ways to show someone the way is not by trying to force feed it to them, but by showing them. So instead of trying to change people's beliefs, show them what you believe, tell them what you believe, and live it out. And that is what you can control, is what you do. You can't control if they accept it. You can't control if they reject it. All you can do is show them. So I want to tell you about a few books, because there's a lot of reading to be done if you're going to follow Stoicism, because it's very, well, it's ancient. It's an ancient philosophy. Started in, I think it's 800 BC. I may be off on that, but I think I'm correct in that assessment. I have a link open that I'm just going to pull up real quick, because I think he says somewhere in here as far as when it came about. And that wasn't the one. So he says 300 BC in Athens by a Phoenician called Zeno. And most people would agree that Zeno was the founder of the school of thought that's come to be known as Stoicism. So the founding principles, according to this website, which is called Mind by Design, he says that it was first established as a school of thought. Its founding principles are that people should live in accordance with nature, which means to be helpful and tolerant towards others. It teaches that we shouldn't be overly concerned by external stimuli like wealth or status, but be determined to persevere in the face of them instead. And this is one of those things where we have these sayings in the military, like embrace the suck. And you know, we believe that the struggle is where growth is found, not in comfort, but in struggle. And that, again, back to this pandemic, this has been a struggle that if you have the right mindset, this struggle can build you up into someone better. But if you let it, it will tear you down. So let me just let you know about a few books. So one of my favorites, and I think one of the favorites of many people who practice or study Stoicism, and even people who don't, is Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Now, this is a guy who was emperor at the time he was writing this, and it was more like his diary. He was writing it to himself. These are thoughts. These are meditations that he wrote down for himself. He didn't know people were going to be reading it centuries and centuries later. So it's like if you were just trying to sort of train yourself to have a better mindset and writing down your thoughts that pertain to that, and then someone compiled it into a book. There's some great, great nuggets of wisdom. Let me pull the book up here and just see if I can turn to something that I may have underlined. Here's one thing I have underlined. A man then must stand erect, not be kept erect by others. That's just a random thing that I pulled out because that's difficult in our society today. Everybody wants to depend on other people to, like, we have an entitlement attitude is what I'm getting at. So he's saying, stand up on your own. Not that you don't need other people, but don't just depend on other people. Be able to depend on yourself. Let's see. I want to find something else that's in here. Talks about temperance. Use everything according to its value. He has a lot to say about whether or not something is good or bad can be your interpretation of it. So if something happens to you and you're like, oh, this bad thing happened to me, his idea is that thing that happened is not bad. What you think of it is good or bad. So let's say you got fired. Oh, this bad thing happened to me. I got fired. Well, what you choose to do with the fact that you got fired could be good or bad. If you sulk and you complain and you don't do anything about it, that is bad. But that doesn't mean that the thing that happened was bad. You can be fired and then find a way to have a better career or start your own business or start your own creative project. And in that sense, because you were forced to grow, which you wouldn't have done if you stayed in that job, then the firing was good. So you understand what I'm saying? It's not the circumstances good or bad. It's what you do with it that's good or bad. So that was the quote I was looking at where he says, what opinions has this man about good and bad? He talks about pleasure and whether you should, you know, seek too much of it. Not that all pleasure is bad, but that if your main pursuit is pleasure, that's not going to be good for you in the long run. Let me see what else I have underlined here. Do not be disgusted, discouraged, or dissatisfied if you do not succeed in doing everything according to right principles. Rather, when you have failed, return back again and be content if the greater part of what you do is consistent with man's nature, and love this to which you return. So if you're doing the right thing, but you fail, be content with the fact that you were doing the right thing. Okay, so this is just a snippet of some of the stuff that Marcus Aurelius had to say. I love that book. Now, another one I'm going to pull up, this is not really Stoicism, but it is philosophy, The Republic by Plato. This is not a Stoic teaching, but you will see some thoughts throughout that are consistent with Stoicism. I'm not going to go in. This is a very big book. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of things here about this book, but you should check it out and read it for yourself. Another big one, another one of the big quotable names in Stoicism is Seneca. If you're hearing a lot of noise in the background, my cats are going wild and I can't do anything about it right now because I'm recording. So, Letters from a Stoic by Seneca. These are letters that he was writing to someone that was, I guess you would say, a pupil of his, someone he was mentoring. And sometimes he can be a little harsh with the guy, but I feel like that benefits us. I don't know if that felt real good for the guy he was talking to, but for us, I feel like that can always be good for people that read it later on. One of my favorite quotes from this book is, "They live ill who are always beginning to live." The idea of always thinking about the next thing. Oh, when I graduate school, my life will begin. Oh, when I get married, my life will begin. When I have kids, my life will begin. When we buy a house, my life will begin. When I get this career, my life will begin. Whatever it may be. You're not really living life if you're always waiting for life to begin. And he talks in this book about like, a man cannot stand prepared for the approach of death if he has just begun to live. We must make it our aim already to have lived long enough. I love that. We must make it our aim to have already lived long enough is, if you really put some thought into that, kind of takes away the sting of death, the fear of death. If you've really lived, then you won't be as afraid of death because you'll say, I've lived a good life. But if you haven't, if you're always just waiting for life to begin, if you're always just waiting for things to start, then yeah, when the end starts nearing, you're going to be like, but wait, no, there's still so much I have left to do. I haven't even started living yet. So you should live today. All right, so there's a few books written by a more modern day Stoic. He is the author of The Daily Stoic and also does a podcast called The Daily Stoic. But he has a few books that I've really enjoyed because it's one thing to read, you know, source material, like reading Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, but it's also beneficial to read commentary of someone's writing. I do this in my Bible studies. I read the Bible and I read commentary about the Bible. So Ryan Holiday has read all these books that I'm mentioning, but he will discuss in further detail. So The Obstacle is the Way is one of his books, and he's talking about something that Marcus Aurelius said, but then making a whole entire book out of one thought that was brought up by Marcus Aurelius, how the obstacle is the way is like what I was saying earlier, where the struggle that you go through is what makes you stronger. Instead of looking at it as an obstacle, look at it as the thing that gets you to where you need to go. And it's a mentality, it's a mindset. Courage is Calling is one of his more recent books because he decided he was going to do a book on each of the four pillars, courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. And Courage is Calling is the one about courage. And he gives a lot of examples in this book about people that were courageous in different ways. You know, whether it was someone caring for sick people when everyone said, you know, don't touch them, or if it was someone that had to make a hard decision about war or whatever the case may be. So Stillness is the Key is another one of his books. I love this one because a big part of Stoicism is not being so frantically overwhelmed with day-to-day life with so much going on. Stillness is the key because you have to take time to think. And if you take time to think, you're going to have more control over your emotions. This is why meditation apps are so, or meditation practices in general, are just so popular now, because we started realizing this whole mindfulness craze, if you want to call it that, this popularity of such a thing is, it's really because people started realizing that in mindfulness, in being still, in thinking, we have more control of our emotions. Another one of Ryan Holiday's books that I like is Ego is the Enemy. Now, this one is really relevant to, I think, a lot of people. We have this entitlement attitude that I talked about before. We can really let ego get in the way. I talked earlier about being more concerned about winning an argument than understanding the other person. But if we step back and get our ego out of the way, then we can accomplish so much more in our lives. Now, someone I like to think is a Stoic, but I don't know if he calls himself that, but he definitely is one and practices a lot of Stoicism and even reads Marcus Aurelius on a regular basis, is James Mattis. General James Mattis, my boy, Mad Dog. He wrote a book called Call Sign Chaos. It's kind of a memoir. He talks about his life talks about wars. He talks about his military service. But you'll see strung all throughout that is the principles of Stoicism that he's applied to his life. The man is a philosopher. The man is a thinker. And that, I think, is what makes him so great a leader. And I think all the great leaders really have this in common. All the great leaders are thinkers who don't just act on knee-jerk reaction or what polls say or what seems to be popular or what we just think we should do sort of on a whim, but actual thinkers, people who go back and read philosophy and history and understand where other people have come from and don't just try to wing it on their own. People who are willing to let their ego get out of the way and take on the counsel of other people. That's a big part of Stoicism as well. There's so much more I could say about Stoicism, but I wanted this to be more of an intro. I started a Substack not too long ago. If you're interested in going over and checking that, I'll link to it in the show notes, but it's mjcmeditations.substack.com. And what I'm doing there is a lot of what I've been doing on this podcast episode where I'm talking about Christianity and Stoicism and sort of the intersection between Stoicism and Christianity. They're not lockstep. There are a lot of things about Stoicism that will contradict Christianity. But as a Christian, you can take those things aside and say, okay, well, that's not the way I viewed things through a Christian worldview. However, this principle goes right along with Christianity, like doing justice, having temperance, having courage, having wisdom. Those are all Christian principles as well. And if we apply those in our Christian faith, for those of you that are listening that are Christians, and even those of you that aren't Christians that are listening, those principles of Stoicism still benefit society for anybody that follows them and benefit you as an individual. But Stoicism isn't about individualism either. It is about benefiting society. It is about having introspection. It is about individual in that you are only capable of controlling yourself as an individual, and you can't control outcomes. You can't control other people. So it's individualistic in that it says, I can only control me, so I'm only going to worry about me. But also in doing that, you are doing it for the benefit of other people as well. You'll have a better marriage, a better relationship, if you can control your emotions rather than having them control you. You'll have better work relationships. You'll be a better employee. You'll be a better employer. You'll be a better business owner, entrepreneur. You'll be a better leader. You'll be a better sibling. You'll be a better parent if you can keep your emotions in check. And no counseling I've ever done has ever benefited me as much as just reading through and trying to practice Stoicism inside of the context of my Christian faith as well. So I hope this helps you in maybe you're searching for something right now to get you through this ongoing pandemic that's still going all this time later. Maybe this will help you. Maybe some of these books will be good recommendations. If I could get everyone to just read Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, I would be so happy with that. And if I could discuss it with everyone that I got to read it, that would make me even happier. Yeah, feel free to drop me a line, by the way. If you want to talk to me about any of these things or give me some recommendations, that would be awesome too. I'm open to that. If you want to do that, hey, email me at mjc@matthewjcochran.com. It's been a pleasure being back. I hope I can continue doing this, and I'll talk to you next time.